Okay, so you guys sent us a fascinating book, this handbook for the recently deceased, and we're not quite sure what to make of it.
Right.
But that's what we're here for.
That's the fun part.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to deep dive into this thing.
Yeah.
I'm so curious, like bioexorcism.
Right.
Implacable, demonic, unresponsive guides.
Seriously?
What even is this book?
Well, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Okay.
It's a guidebook for navigating the afterlife.
Oh.
For when you've shuffled off this mortal coil.
Okay.
As they say.
So like when we're dead?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a wild concept. Who thinks to write a handbook for what happens after you die?
Well, somebody clearly did.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
So let's unpack some of these strange and wonderful ideas together.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
One of the first things I noticed was this word bardo.
Right.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So the book doesn't treat the bardo like some fluffy cloud paradise. It's not like that.
Okay.
It actually describes it as a vast, sometimes confusing landscape.
Okay.
Almost like a continuation of life, just with weirder scenery.
Okay, so it's not like when we die, we suddenly become all wise and enlightened.
That's right.
Okay.
Not according to this handbook.
Interesting.
It actually suggests that all our habits, tendencies, even those unresolved issues we've been lugging around.
Oh, no.
They all come along for the ride.
Oh.
It's almost like the bardo magnifies those things, makes them even more prominent.
Okay. That's a little daunting, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, all the stuff I'm trying to work on now is just going to follow me into the afterlife.
Well, according to the book, that's the deal.
Okay.
But here's the thing.
Okay.
It also suggests that the bardo is a place of immense opportunity.
Okay.
The book talks about these cleansing radiations that can essentially fry away those negative karmic attachments, anger, pride, jealousy, all that fun stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But didn't it also say that these radiations can be pretty intense?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Like, imagine getting hit by a wave of pure, unfiltered energy.
Yeah.
That's designed to burn away all your negativity.
Oof.
Not exactly a relaxing spa day.
No.
The book actually recommends seeking out these Bardomania shops.
Okay, wait.
In the afterlife.
Well, Bardomania shops. What are those?
Well, sort of like cosmic convenience stores.
What?
The book describes them as having radiation booths that offer a gentler cleansing experience.
Okay.
Think of it like a sauna for your soul.
So even in the afterlife, there's like a gentler option.
Right.
I mean,
you don't want to be totally overwhelmed.
Right out the gate.
Right out the gate.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense.
And the fact that the book even mentions those gentler options.
Yeah.
Suggests that there's an element of choice involved.
Okay.
Even in the bardo.
Pinch.
You're not just at the mercy of these radiations.
Okay.
You can choose how you want to approach them.
So I'm starting to see why this book is called a handbook.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually giving you practical advice for this whole afterlife experience.
Yeah, and that practicality is really what sets this book apart.
Okay.
It goes beyond these vague notions of heaven and hell.
Yeah.
And it offers concrete suggestions
for
how to navigate this strange new landscape.
So if the bardo is this like vast, uncharted territory, how do we even begin to find our way around?
Right. Well, that's where things get really interesting.
Okay.
The book stresses the importance of mapping and understanding the bardo's geography.
Okay.
It even suggests practicing visualization techniques while you're still alive.
Wait, so I should be picturing like abandoned parking lots and train yards in the afterlife. What's the point of that?
Well, the book argues that by familiarizing yourself with these locations beforehand, you'll be less likely to be overwhelmed or disoriented when you actually encounter them.
Oh.
In the bardo.
I never thought about it that way. So
yeah.
If I can imagine it now, then I'll be less freaked out when I get there.
Exactly.
Okay.
And there's another reason the book emphasizes mapping the bardo.
Oh.
Apparently, there are these things called rebirth stations.
Rebirth stations.
Yes.
Like places where you get sent back to Earth for another go.
That's the idea.
And the book warns that you might not always realize you're near one.
Right.
Oh, no.
You might be tempted to just slip back into another life without really thinking about it.
Okay, now that is a little unsettling.
Yeah.
So how do you avoid accidentally ending up back in diapers?
Well, according to the handbook, rebirth stations have telltale signs.
Okay.
It describes feeling a phantom swat on your backside.
A phantom swat.
A phantom swat.
Okay, that's just weird.
Or noticing a sudden increase in unpleasant smells.
Oh, gosh.
The imagery the book uses is certainly memorable.
definitely not the welcome wagon I was hoping for.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I guess the point is to be aware of your surroundings.
Yeah.
And not blindly stumble into a rebirth station.
Exactly. The book emphasizes that we have agency.
Okay.
Even in the Bardo.
Uh-huh.
We're not just passive passengers.
Okay.
We can make choices.
So even though our baggage follows us.
Yeah.
We still have a choice.
Even if those choices are influenced by our pre-death habits.
Okay.
We still have choices to make.
That makes me feel a little bit better.
Good.
Yeah. But that brings us back to the whole baggage thing. Yeah. So if our habits are that important in the Bardo,
yeah.
What can we do about it now to prepare?
Yeah, that's a great question.
I mean, we can't just magically erase all our bad habits overnight.
Right. Well, the book suggests that the afterlife acts as a kind of mirror.
Okay.
Reflecting back at us the patterns and habits we've developed over a lifetime.
So if I'm constantly like stressed and anxious in this life, is that just going to amplify in the Bardo?
Well, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
The book highlights.
Okay.
But it also emphasizes that it's not about being perfect.
Okay.
Or completely eliminating all negativity.
Okay.
It's more about becoming aware of those tendencies and actively working on them.
So even if I'm a total mess in this life,
yeah,
there's still hope for me in the Bardo.
That seems to be the message.
Okay, good.
And the book suggests that even small changes we make in our lives now can have ripple effects in the afterlife.
Okay. I'm starting to see the bigger picture here.
Good.
It's not just about preparing for some far-off event called death.
Right.
It's about living a more conscious and intentional life now.
Precisely.
Okay.
And that, I think, is one of the most powerful takeaways from this handbook.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It challenges us to see the afterlife. Not as a separate destination, but as a continuation of the journey we're already on.
I love that.
Me too.
Yeah.
And that journey, as this book suggests, is all about self-discovery,
yes,
growth, and maybe even a few cosmic spa treatments along the way.
Why not?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
So speaking of self-discovery.
Okay.
The book delves into some fascinating concepts.
Okay.
About how our emotions can actually unlock different experiences in the Bardo.
Okay.
It's called lockpicking.
Lockpicking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's about using your emotions as keys.
Like actual keys?
Not quite.
Yeah.
But the analogy is pretty spot on.
Okay.
The book describes how mastering certain emotions, like even humiliation or loss, can open doors to deeper understanding and wisdom in the Bardo.
Interesting.
It's like having an emotional toolkit.
Okay.
For navigating the afterlife.
So it's not about trying to suppress or avoid difficult emotions.
Right.
But actually learning to use them as tools for growth.
Exactly. The key, according to the handbook, is impartiality.
Okay.
It's not about being emotionless.
Okay.
But about learning to experience our emotions without being controlled by them.
Okay.
To experience joy without clinging to it. Sadness. Without being consumed by it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But how do you even begin to develop that level of emotional mastery? It sounds so challenging.
It is challenging, but the book actually provides some specific techniques and practices for cultivating this kind of impartiality.
Okay.
And one of the most intriguing concepts it introduces is the idea of mentation as a key.
A mentation?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
It's more like a very deliberate, focused form of thought.
Okay.
The book describes it as a voluntary act.
Okay.
Something you choose to do
rather
than something that just happens to you.
So it's not just random thoughts swirling around in my head. It's like a deliberate directing of my mind.
Precisely.
Okay.
And the book suggests that when you combine this focused intention, this mentation,
mm-hmm.
with those emotional keys we were talking about,
mm-hmm.
you can unlock even deeper and more profound experiences in the Bardo.
So it's like by mastering your emotions and directing your thoughts, you can actually shape your reality in the afterlife.
That's the idea.
Wow.
Yeah. And it raises some pretty mind-bending questions.
Yeah.
About the nature of consciousness.
Yeah.
And its power to influence our experiences.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay. I think we need a minute to process all of that.
I know, me too.
This book is really throwing me for a loop.
It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah. But that's what makes it so fascinating, right?
Yeah.
It's pushing us to expand our understanding of what's possible, both in this life and beyond.
Okay. I think we need to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. This is a lot.
We'll come back for part two.
Yeah.
And we'll unpack more of this.
More to come.
Yeah, more to come.
All right.
All right. Welcome back.
back again.
To the handbook for the recently deceased.
Yes.
Before we ventured into this world of like augmentation and emotional keys,
yeah,
we were discussing the idea that the afterlife mm-hmm. isn't some far off event,
but a continuation of the work we do
right.
on ourselves right now.
And I love how the book isn't afraid to use some colorful language.
Yes.
Like, it takes a little chump to get rid of the chimp.
I love that line.
Right.
It's so memorable.
It is.
But beyond the humor,
yeah.
there's a real challenge there.
Yeah.
It's about confronting those aspects of ourselves, mm-hmm. those chimps within that we might not be so proud of.
Yeah.
And actively working to cultivate more positive qualities.
Because if we don't do that work now.
Yeah.
The bardo might just force our hand.
That's the implication.
Okay.
Yes, the book presents the bardo mm-hmm. as a sort of cosmic mirror.
Right.
Reflecting back at us the patterns and habits
yeah.
we've cultivated throughout our lives.
Okay, so those negative tendencies that we've been carrying around,
yeah.
they might become even more pronounced in the bardo?
That's what the book's saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is why all this talk about cleansing radiations.
Yeah. And bardomania shops suddenly seems a lot less outlandish.
Right.
If I'm going to be facing a magnified version of myself
yeah.
in the afterlife, I might want to do a little pre-journey detox.
A little cleansing.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It is.
The book isn't just presenting the afterlife as a passive experience.
Right.
It's suggesting we have an active role to play
yes.
in shaping our experience yeah. even after death.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've talked about these emotional keys.
Yes.
And how mastering our emotions can help us unlock deeper experiences in the bardo.
Mm-hmm.
But the book also mentions something called lockpicking.
Yes.
Which sounds a little more...
A little more literal.
Literal.
It does.
Yeah.
But in this context,
okay.
lockpicking is a metaphor
okay.
for using those emotional keys
okay.
to access different areas and possibilities within the bardo.
Gotcha.
It's about becoming aware of the locks, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
that are holding us back from certain experiences and then finding the right emotional key.
Okay.
To open them.
So it's not just about feeling emotions.
Right.
But about understanding how they can be used as tools to navigate the bardo.
Exactly.
Okay.
The book provides this really intriguing list of potential keys.
Okay.
Humiliation, loss, disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Fear, even joy.
Wow.
It's like an emotional toolkit for exploring the afterlife.
But wouldn't using emotions like fear or disappointment
right.
just lead to more suffering?
That's a great question.
Even in the bardo.
It is.
Yeah.
And it goes back to that concept of impartiality we talked about earlier.
Right.
Remember, yeah. it's not about being controlled by these emotions.
Right.
But about using them as a means to access
okay.
deeper understanding.
So it's about experiencing those emotions.
Yes.
Without clinging to them or letting them define us.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's about observing those emotions, acknowledging their presence,
mm-hmm.
and then using them to open up new pathways.
Yeah. That's a challenging concept.
It is challenging.
But potentially very liberating.
Very liberating.
Imagine being able to harness the energy of even difficult emotions.
Yeah.
And use it to unlock new levels of wisdom and insight.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm trying to wrap my head around that.
I know.
It's like instead of being afraid of those difficult emotions,
yeah.
we're actually learning to embrace them.
Exactly.
And use them to our advantage.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay.
And it ties back to the idea that the bardo
mm-hmm.
isn't about punishment or reward,
right.
but about growth and transformation.
Okay.
It's about using every experience, even the challenging ones,
yeah.
as an opportunity to learn and evolve.
Okay, so let me see if I got this right.
Okay.
We're talking about using our emotions as keys
yes.
to unlock different areas of the bardo.
Yes.
But to do that effectively,
yeah.
we need to develop this sense of impartiality, this yeah. ability to experience emotions without being swept away by them.
Yes.
Okay.
And the book goes even deeper.
Okay.
Introducing this concept of mentation.
Right. Mentation.
Yeah.
We touched on this a little bit earlier,
yeah.
but I'm still not quite sure
yeah.
what it actually is.
Yeah.
Is it like meditation?
It's a bit of both, actually.
Okay.
The book describes mentation
mm-hmm.
as a very specific kind of mental activity.
Okay.
A voluntary form of thought.
Okay.
It's not just letting your mind wander aimlessly,
right,
but consciously directing your attention towards a particular object or idea.
So instead of being reactive to my thoughts and emotions,
yes,
I'm choosing what to focus on and directing my mental energy towards that.
Precisely. It's about taking control of your mental landscape and consciously shaping your thoughts.
And the book is suggesting that this mentation,
yes,
when combined with the right emotional key,
mm-hmm,
can unlock even deeper experiences in the bardo.
That's what it seems to be saying.
Yeah. Wow.
It's almost like adding another layer.
Okay.
Of control and direction to your exploration of the bardo.
Okay.
You're not just wandering around hoping to stumble upon something interesting.
Right.
You're using your will and intention.
Okay.
To create the experiences you want.
Yeah. That's a pretty powerful concept.
It is.
It's like we're not just at the mercy of our circumstances, even in the afterlife.
Yeah.
We have the ability to shape our own reality.
And that, I think, is one of the most profound implications of this whole lockpicking idea.
Okay.
It suggests that our minds are far more powerful than we realize.
Okay.
And that we have the potential to create our own experiences even beyond this life.
So let me get this straight.
Okay.
We're essentially talking about becoming architects of our own afterlife.
In a way, yes. Mm-hmm. But it's not about controlling every detail dictating exactly what happens.
Right.
It's more about understanding the tools at our disposal.
Mm-hmm.
Those emotional keys and the power of mentation. And using them to navigate the bardo.
Okay.
With more awareness and intention.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I think I'm starting to get the hang of this.
Okay.
But you know what? All this talk about intention
and
shaping our reality is making me wonder about those B-lubs we mentioned earlier.
Ah, yes. The B-lubs.
They're these parasitic entities that feed off our negative emotions.
Right. They're certainly one of the more intriguing concepts in this handbook.
Yeah.
And they raise some interesting questions about the nature of our emotional energy.
Right.
And how it might interact with other beings, even in the afterlife.
Because if these BLOBs are real and they're feeding off our negativity, then that means our emotional state isn't just affecting us.
Right.
It's affecting other beings around us as well.
Precisely. And it adds a whole new layer of responsibility to the equation.
Right.
It's not just about our own personal growth and well-being anymore.
Right.
It's about the impact our emotional energy is having on others.
Okay. So how do we deal with these BLOBs?
Right.
The book mentions avoiding fun stuff when they're around.
Right.
Like they're party poopers or something.
Yeah. Like you just want to be as boring as possible.
Yeah. Is that all there is to it?
Well, the book does suggest making your environment as unappealing to them as possible.
Okay.
But it also emphasizes the importance of becoming aware of your emotional triggers.
Okay.
Those things that tend to stir up negativity.
Okay.
And attract the BLBs.
So it's about recognizing those patterns within ourselves.
Yes.
That are feeding these entities and then choosing to break free from them.
Exactly. It's like we're learning to starve.
Okay.
Those BLOBs, both literally and metaphorically.
I'm starting to think those BLOBs might be a metaphor for something else entirely.
Oh, interesting.
Like maybe they represent those negative thought patterns and habits that we tend to cling to.
Yeah.
Even when they're no longer serving us.
That's a fascinating interpretation.
Yeah.
And it makes the book's advice even more relevant.
If we can learn to recognize and detach from those negative patterns in this life, perhaps we can avoid attracting those metaphorical BLOBs in the bardo as well.
So instead of running from the BLOBs, we're actually learning to transform those negative patterns within ourselves.
Exactly.
It's like we're taking back control of our own energy.
Precisely. And that, I think, is a powerful message.
Okay.
Even in the face of seemingly external forces like these BLOBs,
the
book's reminding us that the real battle is within.
Oh, okay.
It's about mastering our own minds and emotions.
This handbook for the recently deceased is full of surprises.
It is.
I mean, who knew that navigating the afterlife would involve so much inner work?
It's a reminder that the journey of self-discovery doesn't end with death.
Right.
It continues, perhaps even intensifies in the bardo.
And the more prepared we are for that journey, the more fulfilling our experience is likely to be.
Absolutely.
It's like we're packing our bags for the afterlife. But instead of clothes and toiletries, we're packing emotional intelligence.
I love that.
Self-awareness and a whole lot of intention.
That's a beautiful way to put it.
Right.
And it brings us to some of the more challenging concepts in this handbook.
Okay.
Those that delve into the deeper mysteries of consciousness
okay.
and the nature of reality.
Okay.
We've touched on them briefly, but they deserve a closer look.
All right.
I'm talking about things like plasma containment.
Okay.
Field fiddling. Even the idea that we might be able to manipulate energy.
Okay.
And create our own realities through focused intention.
I have to admit, those concepts kind of make my head spin a little.
I know, they're out there.
They sound like something out of a science fiction novel.
They do. But the book presents them with a certain matter of factness.
Right.
That makes you wonder if there's more to them.
Yeah.
Than meets the eye.
So are we talking about actual physical manipulation of energy?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this more about the power of our thoughts and beliefs to shape our experiences?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And one that the book doesn't explicitly answer.
Okay.
It leaves room for interpretation.
Okay.
Inviting us to explore these concepts.
Okay.
And draw our own conclusions.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's like the book is challenging us to expand our understanding.
Yeah.
Of what's possible, to consider ideas that might seem far-fetched at first.
Right.
Yeah.
And even if we don't fully grasp the technical details of these concepts, I think there's a valuable message there.
Okay.
It's about recognizing the incredible power of our minds.
Okay.
And the potential we have to shape our own reality.
Okay, but that raises another question.
Okay.
If we have this kind of power, even if it's just on a mental or emotional level, how do we use it wisely?
Right.
How do we ensure we're not creating more harm than good?
That's a crucial question.
Yeah.
And one that I think the book would encourage us to grapple with.
Okay.
It's not just about understanding these concepts in theory, but about applying them ethically and responsibly.
Yeah. So it's not just about power,
right,
but about wisdom and discernment.
Exactly.
About understanding the consequences of our actions, both in this life and beyond.
Precisely. And that, I think, is a key takeaway from this entire deep dive. The handbook for the recently deceased isn't just a guide to the afterlife.
Right.
It's a guide to living a more conscious and meaningful life right now.
This conversation has really shifted my perspective. I'm starting to see that preparing for the afterlife isn't about memorizing a set of rules or avoiding certain pitfalls.
Yeah.
It's about cultivating certain qualities within ourselves, developing our awareness, and mastering our minds and emotions.
And those qualities, that awareness, that mastery, those are things that will serve us well, not just in the bardo, but in every aspect of our lives.
You know what I'm starting to get a little anxious about all this?
Right.
Like, what if I don't manage to develop those qualities before it's my time to go? What if I'm just not ready for the bardo?
That's a natural concern.
Yeah.
But remember, the book emphasizes that the bardo is a journey, not a destination.
Okay.
It's a process of ongoing growth and transformation.
So even if I'm not perfectly prepared, there's still room for learning and evolution in the bardo.
That seems to be the message. Yes.
Okay.
It's not about arriving at some state of perfection, but about embracing the journey.
Okay.
And continuing to learn and grow even after death.
That's actually quite reassuring.
It
makes me realize that maybe we're putting too much pressure on ourselves to have all the answers right now.
Right.
Maybe the point is to simply stay curious, keep exploring, and trust that the journey itself will guide us.
That's a beautiful insight.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the heart of what this handbook is all about. It's not about dictating a specific path or imposing rigid rules.
Yeah.
It's about empowering us to become active participants in our own journey, both in this life and beyond.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling a little overwhelmed by all this profound wisdom.
I know, me too.
We've covered a lot of ground, and I think we need a moment to let it all sink in.
Yeah.
What do you say we take a break?
Let's take a break.
And come back to wrap up this wild ride through the bardo.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
We'll be back soon for the final leg of our journey through the handbook for the recently deceased.
Awesome.
In the meantime, why don't you take a moment to reflect on what's resonated with you the most?
Okay.
What insights have surprised you? What questions are still lingering?
Yeah.
We'll be back soon to explore those questions together.
Okay.
And see what other treasures we can uncover.
Okay.
In this extraordinary book.
Okay, so we're back for our final deep dive into the handbook for the recently deceased.
Yeah.
I have to say, this book has really challenged my assumptions about everything.
Yeah.
We've talked about the bardo as this strange, uncharted territory. how our habits from this life carry over, and even the power of our emotions to unlock different experiences in the afterlife.
It's been quite a journey.
It has.
Yeah.
As we're wrapping things up, I want to circle back to one of the concepts that really struck me.
Okay.
The rebirth stations.
Oh, yeah, the rebirth stations.
Well, yeah, these areas in the Bardo that can supposedly pull you back into another life.
Yeah.
Sometimes before you're even ready.
Right. And I remember the book had some pretty vivid descriptions.
Yes.
Of how to recognize them.
Like feeling a phantom swat on your backside.
Yes.
Or noticing a sudden increase in certain aromas.
Certain aromas.
Yeah, it was a little,
much.
Much. Yeah. But I think those descriptions, as outlandish as they seem, are meant to highlight a crucial point.
They are. Mm-hmm. What would you say that is?
Well, I think it's that we need to be incredibly aware of our surroundings in the Bardo.
Yes, very aware.
It's not a place to be passive.
No.
Or complacent.
Not at all.
We need to be alert and make conscious choices about where we go and what we experience.
You don't want to just get swept up in the current.
Right.
And end up back in the cycle of rebirth.
Right. So it's not enough to just navigate the Bardo. Yeah. We have to actively resist these rebirth stations. Yes, okay, that adds a whole other layer of complexity to this whole afterlife business.
It really does. And the book even compares these rebirth stations to something unexpected.
Okay.
It calls them the Disneyland of the Bardo.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Likening them to the great rebirth indoctrination camp.
That's a pretty bold statement.
It is.
What do you make of that analogy?
Well, on one level, I think it's a warning.
Okay.
Against getting seduced by the allure of familiarity.
Okay.
Rebirth stations like Disneyland might offer a sense of comfort.
Okay.
And distraction. Uh-huh. But the book seems to be suggesting that if we're not careful, we can get lulled back into the cycle of rebirth without truly understanding what we're signing up for.
So it's almost like we have to be on guard against our own desire to jump back into the familiar, even if it's not ultimately in our best interest.
Right.
It's a mind-blowing concept.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It raises some pretty deep questions about the nature of free will and the forces that might be at play even in the afterlife.
Okay.
Are we truly making our own choices?
Yeah.
Or are there subtle influences shaping our decisions?
You know, now that you mention it, the book does suggest that our own unresolved issues and attachments from this life can actually draw us towards certain rebirth stations.
It's like we're carrying around this invisible baggage that acts as a magnet, pulling us back to familiar patterns.
Right.
So it's not just about avoiding those external rebirth stations.
Okay.
But also about addressing those internal triggers, those unresolved issues and attachments that might be holding us back from a more expansive afterlife experience.
So what's the solution?
Right.
How do we avoid accidentally getting pulled back into another life before we're ready?
Well, the book emphasizes the importance of developing a strong will and a clear sense of purpose in the Bardo. It suggests practicing detachment from worldly desires.
Okay.
And cultivating a deep sense of inner peace.
So it's not just about resisting external temptations, but also about cultivating a certain inner state.
Exactly.
A kind of mental and emotional resilience that can help us navigate the Bardo.
Yes, the book even mentions some specific techniques for strengthening your will in the Bardo.
Okay.
Like those unbrainstorming sessions we talked about.
Right.
It's almost like we're training our minds to resist those tempting siren calls of rebirth. We're learning to choose our own path rather than being swept along by the current.
That makes me think about all the things we struggle with in this life.
Uh-huh.
Distractions, distasteations, that feeling of being overwhelmed by our thoughts and emotions.
Yeah.
What if we could apply those same techniques to our everyday life?
Exactly.
Could that help us create a more fulfilling and intentional life right now?
That's a fascinating question.
Yeah.
And it speaks to one of the core themes of this handbook.
Okay.
That the skills and qualities we cultivate in this life have a direct impact on our experience in the afterlife.
Right.
It's not about waiting for death to start working on ourselves.
Right.
It's about seeing this life as an opportunity to prepare for whatever comes next.
So it's like the Bardo is this ultimate test of our character.
Right.
And the more we work on ourselves now, the better equipped we'll be.
Exactly. And it's not about achieving some kind of flawless perfection, but about striving for progress, for growth.
Okay.
It's about learning to master our minds and emotions so that we can navigate the bardo.
Right.
And ultimately life itself.
Yeah.
With more wisdom and awareness.
This whole conversation has been such a mind-bending experience.
I know, right.
This handbook for the recently deceased is unlike anything I've ever encountered before.
It's unique.
It's strange. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's incredibly thought-provoking.
It really makes you think.
It really makes you think. It's challenged my assumptions about life, death, and everything in between.
I couldn't agree more. It's a book that demands to be wrestled with, pondered over, and revisited time and time again.
Mm-hmm.
And while we might not agree with everything it says or even fully grasp all of its concepts, I think there's a powerful message at its core.
What would you say that message is?
That preparing for the afterlife starts in this life.
Okay.
It's a reminder that we have far more agency than we might realize.
Okay.
Both in shaping our present experiences and in preparing for what lies beyond.
It's like the book is saying, hey, you've got this one precious life.
Yeah.
So make the most of it, work on yourself, cultivate those positive qualities.
Yeah.
And face those inner challenges.
Right.
Because ultimately that's what will prepare you for the greatest journey of all.
Beautifully said.
Oh.
And I think that's a perfect note to end on.
Okay.
This handbook for the recently deceased, as strange and unconventional as it is, offers a powerful invitation to live a more conscious, intentional, and ultimately fulfilling life.
Well, we encourage you to keep exploring this book.
Yeah.
Let its ideas simmer and see what insights emerge for you.
Yeah. And maybe it'll inspire you.
Yeah.
To start your own handbook for the recently deceased.
Ooh.
Filled with your own wisdom and experiences.
That's a great idea.
We'd love to hear what you come up with.
Yes. Send those in.
Please do.
Thanks for joining us on this wild ride.
Yeah. Through the bardo. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, keep diving deep. See you next time.